Let's read, please, at verse 21 in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship or by boat onto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed and thronged him. And a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the crowd and said, Who touched me? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll open our study for this evening. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you, Father, indeed, that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Father, for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that as we come to your word this evening, that you can take the things that we've read, the things that will be said, and by your Spirit, Lord, you can apply them with living power in the heart or life of someone here this evening. Lord, you know each who have gathered in. You know, Lord, those who are yours. You know, Lord, those who are backsliders. You know, Lord, those who are outside of Christ. And, Lord, tonight they're under the judgment and condemnation of God. And yet, Lord, we thank you that there's a gospel of grace, a gospel of love that we can proclaim this evening. And we trust, Lord, that by your Spirit you would work, and that, Lord, indeed you would seal the word with signs following in salvation for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a tremendous passage of God's word, and one which has been well preached on by many over the generations. The whole chapter is filled with wonderful story and wonderful accounts of things in the life of the Lord Jesus. If ever you think you're doing too much, and maybe someone would tell you you should take it easy, well, you should read Mark's Gospel chapter 5, because the Lord Jesus was a man who was always, or one who was always active in regards to his ministry and reaching others. At the beginning of the chapter, we read the Lord's encounter with a man who was demon-possessed. In the center of the chapter, where we have read together, we read about him in contact with this lady who was afflicted with an issue of blood. And at the end of the chapter, we read about him in the home of Jairus, where he raised that little girl from the dead. I think if any of us had done one of those things in any given day, we would say, well, I've done enough today. I've seen a little one raised from the dead. I've seen a woman in the street today and she got made whole. I met a man today and he was demon-possessed, and we engaged with them, and the man's now delivered. Any one of those things would give us enough to talk about for a year, normally. But here's the Lord Jesus in the space of this chapter, and he deals with all of these. Someone has well said that at the beginning of the chapter, the Lord Jesus deals with a man. In the middle of the chapter, he deals with a woman. And at the end of the chapter, he deals with a child. Does that not include us all this evening? Whoever we are, wherever we've come from, a man, a woman, a child. A man in the tombs, a woman in the streets, a little girl at home. Where do you fit in this evening? Jesus has got an interest in you. The Lord Jesus is able to meet you at the point of your need. Man, woman, child. The man that we read about in the chapter, it says of him that he was possessed by demons. But those demons were no problem to Christ. The lady in the chapter, as we read of her, she was afflicted with an incurable disease. But disease was no problem to Christ. And the little girl at the end of the chapter, well, she was lying cold in death. But death is no problem to Christ. What's your problem this evening? What is it that's in your mind? What is it that's in your life? What is it that's in your memory, in your background, and you say, there's nobody or nothing can help me? Let me tell you, Jesus is able to meet your need. He could meet a man in the tombs. He could meet a woman on the street. He could meet a little girl in her home. He could meet a man possessed with demons. He could talk to a woman who was incurably afflicted with a disease, and he could meet a little girl, and she was dying, and Jesus could meet their need. That's the Christ that we want to present you to you this evening. That's the one that we want to bring, is the one that you need, the one who can save you from your sin, the one who can change your life, the one who can give you assurance of heaven. This is the Christ of God. This is the Son of God. This is the one who left heaven and came to live and came to live his life here on earth just as you and I live. But he was perfect. He was God's Son. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the one who went to a cross. He rose again, and he's able to save to the uttermost all who come to God through him. We want to present Jesus to you this evening, the Jesus of Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. It's a lovely story. We begin, the Lord has just crossed the Sea of Galilee, and he's just told the man who had been possessed of the demons to go home to his friends and to tell them what great things the Lord had done for him. Imagine going home to tell your friends of what Christ has done for you. It's a wonderful thing to have a word of testimony, and the man with the demons that had been exorcised of demons, he had a testimony. And as the Lord Jesus gets out of the boat and arrives on the shore at the other side, you'll notice what it said in verse 21. The crowds gathered around him, much people, and he was near to the sea. And just as he's put his foot on the shore, there's a man, he's Jairus, and he comes to Jesus, and he's got an urgent plea. My little daughter lies at home at the point of death. Would you come and help her? Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, a man who was religious, a man who was right up there in the high echelons of Judaism, but he knew that his little daughter's need was beyond him. He knew that Jesus was the only one who could help his little daughter, and Jesus begins to make his way down the road towards Jairus' house. I sometimes like to think of what it must have been that day. There's a dusty road. It's in the Middle East, this little town. A dusty road, and there's little houses up and down the sides of the street. There's a lot of excitement and noise in the crowd. I think it's a clear blue sky. Clear blue sky and lots of noise, and the temperatures are high, and there's a lot of excitement, and people are jostling and pushing, and Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. There's a little girl at the point of death. Well, Christ be able to do anything for her? But as Jesus makes his way down this dusty road, in amongst the crowd, there's a lady with a problem. Nobody knows anything about her. We don't know her name. It tells us in verse 25 that a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. What's her name? We don't know her name. And you may sit in a pew this evening in Lisburn Baptist Church and, well, you're just saying, I hope nobody knows me. I'm just an anonymous individual. I've just slipped in and, but, you know, if you knew what was in my life, if you knew what was going on in my heart, if you knew my past, well, here's a lady, and as Jesus makes his way to Jairus' house in amongst the crowd of the many people who thronged around the Savior, there was a woman who had an issue of blood. This was something that no one else knew about. She had an issue of blood that was a secret problem. A secret problem. It wasn't like leprosy that people said, well, you know, they were ostracized from society. It wasn't as if she had a broken leg or maybe she was blind. That was not this lady. She had something that was secret. Something that no one else knew about. And in amongst that crowd of everybody who was pushing around the Savior, this lady with the issue of blood 12 years, she says, I wonder, could Jesus help me? Could Jesus help me? Is that you this evening? Who knows what goes on in each of our lives? Young people, older folks, the problem of sin, the problem of knowing that you're guilty before God, the problem of habits that you cannot break, thoughts that you cannot control, a lifestyle that you know will take you into a lost eternity under the judgment of God. And who knows what you're watching on the internet? Who knows what you're listening to on your iPhone? Who knows what it is that you're reading? Secret sins. Secret sins. Secret things that you know will be the death of you. And like this lady, somehow you want to be free, but you don't know how. You don't know how. Is there someone here this evening and you're struggling? Struggling with secret things. Struggling with things that God knows this evening as he looks into your life. Things that separate you from him. Things that you know are wrong. Things that you know are shameful. Things that you know that you want to be rid of, but you just don't know how. Well, Jesus knows. He tells us here this woman with her issue of blood 12 years. Verse 26 must be one of the most pitiful verses in all of the Bible. She had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. Could you write anything more pitiful about anybody's circumstances? She had tried all that she could to get relieved from this issue of blood that had plagued her for 12 years. She had suffered many things of many physicians. Think about it. Every doctor that she could have been to, she'd been there. Every professor that she thought could help her, she'd been to him. Every book that she could get on the subject that might provide her with healing, she got the book. If she was around today, she would have been on every internet site that she could find. What's the answer? What's the solution? How is it that I can be cured? She had tried many things of many physicians. Every tablet, every medicine, every herbal remedy, whatever there was to try for 12 years, she struggled and she strived and she says, I want to be free. But every year for 12 years, She is no better, but she's getting worse. No better, but getting worse. Could I say to you this evening, if you're struggling with sin, no matter how much you try, or how much you endeavor, or how many times you turn over a new leaf, you'll be nothing better, but rather you'll be getting worse, because you see, sin is a plague, and sin is an enemy that will not let go. You were born in sin. You were shapen in iniquity, and your sins will master you. You cannot be rid of your sin by your own strength or by human help. You'll need a power outside of yourself to deliver you from the sins that plague you. And this lady, she tried many things of many physicians. She spent all that she had. Imagine that, spending all that she has. I don't know if she started off as a wealthy lady. I don't know if she owned her own house, or whether she borrowed money, or maybe she had a legacy that she got when she was younger. But I don't know. But as we meet her today in Mark chapter 5, she's penniless. She has spent all that she has. She is beat. She has empty hands, empty pockets, empty purse. She has nothing more that she can do. And she is no better, and she is getting worse. How many try religion? How many people say prayers, go to confession boxes, bow up and down and up and down week after week, trying to atone for sin? How many go to religious services? How many practice church ordinances? How many people pay money and give to charity and try to help here, there, and yonder? And yet in their hearts they know there's a plague that will not let me go. There's a judgment, there's a guilt, and I cannot be free. And rather than getting better, they're getting worse. You see, there isn't any other cure for sin. As this lady found in regards to her ailment, there's no other cure than the cure that God has provided. And friend, this evening, little girl, young man, child, man or woman, you can dress up, you can play a part, you can do what you will for many years, but the plague of sin will never let you go until you find the remedy that God alone has provided for sin. The sickness that plagued her. And friend, this evening, the Bible tells us this, that we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. We are all as an unclean thing. And if you sit here this evening and you say, well, I'm not in a condition like that lady, friend, you're blind to your own condition, because we're all sinners. We're all separated from God by nature. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by practice. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Friend, this evening, that's how the Bible describes sin. And it'll separate you from God and life. And it'll separate you from God for all eternity. The sickness that plagued her. But not only that, do we see in verse 26 or 25 and 26, the sickness that plagued her. But in verse 27, we see the stories that moved her. The stories that moved her. See what it says in verse 27? When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind him and touched his garment. That's a lovely little phrase, when she heard of Jesus. She heard of Jesus. I've tried the professors. I've tried the doctors. I've read the books. I've been online. I've tried everything that I can to be rid of my plague, but I've heard of Jesus. I heard that there was a demon-possessed man and Jesus was able to set him free. Oh, that story moved her. I heard of a man and they used to bind him with chains, and this man, he just broke the chains as if they were pieces of thread. I heard of that man, and he used to wear no clothes, and people wouldn't go anywhere where he lived, and they wouldn't be anywhere near him. He frightened the life out of everybody who was near him, but Jesus changed him. I wonder what Jesus did for him. Could he do it for me? And then she heard another story. See, in Mark chapter 2, she heard a story about four men who brought a paralyzed man to Jesus. A man who could neither move his arms nor his legs. And four men one day took him, and they took him up on a roof, and they opened up the top of the roof, and they let the man down into where Jesus was. And Jesus says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Oh, that story moved her. That story moved her. Oh, and I heard about a woman, and she was Peter's mother-in-law, and she was lying sick of a fever, but Jesus went into her room one day, and he just raised her up out of bed. Oh, could Jesus do something for me? Could he do something for me? Oh, yes, and there was that man who had the withered hand. His hand was totally limp, but Jesus told him to stretch it out, and it was healed. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone new? You. You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Well, don't despair, my brother, because I've got news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Stories that moved her. Testimonies. How many people have heard a testimony? I got saved when I was 5. Wonderful. I got saved when I was 12. Wonderful. I got saved when I was 18. Wonderful. I got saved when I was 25. Marvelous. I got saved when I was 40. Hallelujah. I got saved when I was 70. I was saved when I was 91. What he's done for others, he can do for you. Who are you this evening? A man, a woman, a little girl, in the tombs, on the street, in the home. Jesus can meet your need. What he's done for others, he can do for you. Jesus was able to come to where she was, and Jesus was there, and she heard stories that moved her. Well, she wasn't the most courageous type. Look what it says, verse 28. She said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. If you read the account in Luke's Gospel, it says that she came behind him in the crowd. She came behind him. Imagine that. She didn't come up front and say, "Jesus, here's my problem." She came behind him in the crowd. She wasn't wanting a scene. She wasn't wanting to making a fuss. But she did want to get her sins. She wanted her problem dealt with. Is there someone here this evening and you say, "I don't want to make a fuss"? I don't really want too many people to know just now, but I know I've got a problem. I've got sin. I've got an issue. There's things that need to be dealt with. Could I come in the crowd? Could I put my hand, could I slip it through? Could Jesus do something for me? And this lady comes in the crowd, and with a touch that no one knew anything about, she reached out her hand and she touched the hem of his garment. And immediately she felt in herself that she was healed of that plague. I wonder if you've ever thought about not only the sickness that cured her and the stories that moved her, but this is the pinnacle, the Savior who cured her. The Savior who cured her. What must it have been like for her to reach out her hand and in a moment of time, without money, without ceremony, without a whole lot of other things, she felt in herself that she was healed. What it is to be saved. What it is for a burden to lift. What it is to know that the slate has been wiped clean. what it is to know that Jesus has done something in your life that you know you could never have done for yourself. The Bible calls it being born again. You may think it foolish what I'm going to say, but I'm not ashamed. No, not ashamed. One day I prayed, Jesus, take my sins away. And that's when I was born again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, and just because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again. Is that your testimony? Is that your experience? Or maybe like the lady, you say, I wish it was. I wish it was. Well, it can be. And the lady puts her hand through and she touches the hem of his garment. Whenever you think of the hem of the garment, it brings us right to the center of the gospel. Because whenever we think of the hem of the garment, that is the piece of the garment that was pierced. That's where the needle went through, the hem of the garment. You'll know that. The hem is where you put the thread round and the needle goes through. Whenever we think of the pierced part, we think he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brings us peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Friend, this evening, young person, older person, he was pierced for you. He was pierced for you. I can tell you what they did in measure in regards to the soldiers. They stripped him naked in Gabbatha in the judgment hall, and they punched his face until the Bible says it was more marred than any man. They lashed his back until it was like a ploughed field. They pulled the hairs from his beard. They put a crown of thorns upon his head, and they smashed it in with a rod. They bowed before him and they mocked him. Then they put a purple robe on him and they took him out to Calvary. And at Calvary's cross, they put nails through his hands and through his feet. They pierced him. They pierced him. But that's not what paid for my sins. That's not what paid for your sins. Because from the third hour to the sixth hour, they watched him as he hung. But from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was a darkness came down over Calvary. And in that darkness, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin. In that darkness, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the reasons are sitting here this evening. Jesus was forsaken that you and I could be made right with God, reconciled. In the darkness, he made, the Bible says, propitiation for our sins. He satisfied the judgment of God. He offered to God a sacrifice that made peace. And on the basis of what he did, salvation is offered to whoever will believe. He was pierced. Christ was made a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. He was pierced for you. But not only does the hem of the garment, is it the pierced part, but it's also the finished part. This lady touched the finished part. And in that great cry when Jesus said, it is finished. Friend, it tells us there's nothing else that needs to be done. You can't add to what Jesus did on the cross. You don't need Jesus on the cross and baptism. You don't need Jesus on the cross and a good life. You don't need Jesus on the cross and prayers. You don't need Jesus on the cross and what other people think about you. You don't need Jesus on the cross and your money. You just need him. Simple faith in him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. He did all that God has demanded. He did everything that the law had required. And the blood of Jesus makes peace for all who will believe. For many years, so many lambs were offered up. But all the blood that was shed could never fill the bitter cup, till one spotless lamb in the form of man gave his life on Calvary. His was the only blood that could ever set me free. For his blood was not just blood of another spotless lamb. His blood is precious blood, and it cleanses the sins of man. And his blood, it atones for sin, and it sets my spirit free. And I'm so glad that his precious blood still flows from Calvary. Jesus shed his blood that you, like this lady, could be set free from your plague of sin. The Savior who cured her. She touched the pierced part. She touched the finished part. But friend, also, she had to touch either of those places. She had to touch that place only by bending. She got down low and she touched the hem of his garment. Have you ever humbled yourself and acknowledged yourself as a sinner before God? Have you ever got to that place where you've said, I'm guilty. I can't save myself. I know there's a God. I know there's a judgment. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a hell. I know that only Jesus can save. I humbly come, Lord, save me. And you reach your hand out by faith and you touch him. You receive him. You believe in him. Well, this is what the lady did. And look at verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him around in the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? There were lots of people touched Jesus that day. There were lots of people bustling and jostling and knocking into him, but none of them were coming the way this lady came. This lady came by faith. This lady came believing. She wasn't part of the religious crowd. She wasn't just one of the, as it were, the bystanders, the nosy ones all around her. She was wanting Christ and she came by faith. Have you ever come personally, just like this lady, and you've touched him? Touched him the way she did. By faith you've believed. And the disciples said, Lord, the crowd, what do you mean who touched me? What do you mean who touched me? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Jesus ignored them, and he looked around about in the crowd, and he said, for her who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. I struggled, Lord, for 12 years. I've had a problem that nobody knows anything about, but Lord, just now I touched and I'm healed. I've got saved. I've been born again. I'm cured. Imagine that. What a testimony. And then Jesus says to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Would you like to go out in peace this evening? That's what a gospel service is all about. Someone comes in and maybe they didn't even realize when they came in they had a burden. But you can go out with peace this evening. Peace purchased by Christ. Peace given to you by Christ, by his Spirit in your heart. The peace of God. Peace with God. Eternal life. Assurance of heaven. The chains have been broken. New life in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gospel. You don't earn it. You don't pay for it. You don't deserve it. You just say, Lord, I need it. I'm a sinner. I qualify for salvation. Lord, save me. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. May God bless.